So with all this talk of occupying Wall Street, bankers have been taking a big hit in the public discourse recently, either cast as the 1% holding the wealth of the U.S. economy hostage away from the rest of the 99% of Americans, or as corrupt players like, say, the convicted and now sentenced hedge fund founder Raj Rajaratnam, who's going to prison for 11 years after being sentenced yesterday for insider trading. It's the biggest sentence ever in insider trading. Some bankers on Wall Street, though, have begun to break their silence and are pushing back on their own behalf at this moment of a kind of a beleaguered image for financiers of all kinds. Here's Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So first on the Rajaratnam sentence, what do you think it says about this crime of insider trading, the 11 years to be served by Mr. Rajaratnam, who founded Galleon Group?
Well, first of all, it says a lot about the Department of Justice that they have very vigorously gone after insider trading. We've seen a number of cases. His is the most prominent, but they haven't as aggressively gone after the financial crisis cases. And so one of the things I've been wondering about is, you know, whether the public, you know, and the people who are protesting down at Occupy Wall Street, who have many of them have signs saying they're looking for accountability of people on Wall Street, will they view this insider trading case as holding people accountable, or will they say, what about the bank CEOs and the mortgage company CEOs that were involved in the financial crisis?
Is it a question of justice or a question of scapegoating? What do bankers say when they look out and see this landscape? Rajaratnam, just sort of one bit of the landscape. The whole issue of bankers being blamed for everything going on in the economy right now. What are people telling you?
Well, bankers are just starting to talk publicly. You know, the first few weeks of the protest, Occupy Wall Street, I would call around and you would ask people and they would say, oh, we will not say anything on the record. But in the last couple of days, you've seen a lot of Wall Street executives come out. One person, a very prominent person who came out, is John Paulson. You know, he's that billionaire hedge fund manager who made over $3 billion for himself in 2008 shorting the mortgage market. You know, he yep. profited when housing collapsed. Well, he came out on Wednesday and he said that people should not vilify our most successful businesses. And he said that top 1% of New Yorkers pay over 40% of all income taxes, money that helps everyone. So he, the protesters had been saying they were going to walk by his house, and he put this statement out essentially saying, well, you know, we're bringing a lot of money to New York, so don't vilify us.
I don't know if a billionaire casting his tax bill as something of a charitable contribution to the New York economy is going to fly here. Do any of these bankers suggest that they understand the pain of what's going on down on Wall Street, even if they make an argument in their own defense, as Paulson did?
Well, the person who has been the most sympathetic, who is not a classical banker, but he's certainly a profit, someone who is very wealthy, is Warren Buffett's son, Howard. He came out this week and he said that in the last 15 years, he saw large corporations, and this is the phrase he used, he said, really screw people. And so he said that he sympathizes with the protesters and that perhaps this is what is needed to bring attention to issues like hunger in America. So he was on the other end. Other bank, you know, people in banking, the bank CEOs have been really in the middle. You had the CEO of Citigroup, Bikram Pandit, came out and said he would be happy to meet with the protesters. He'd be happy to go talk with them. So that wasn't really, you know, a statement that he, you know, agrees with them or disagrees. It was just that he'd be happy to try to communicate. And then you had Jamie Dimon yesterday, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, say that he said, I am vaguely, he used the word vaguely, I am vaguely familiar with the First Amendment right to protest. But then he said, but J.P. Morgan is doing lots of things to try to help the economy, like lending. So he kind of turned it around, the message around to that.
Are you kidding me, Louise? He said he's vaguely familiar with
that's the word he used. Yeah, when he was asked on a media call, you know, he was talking about J.P. Morgan's earnings, which were down a little bit. And actually, it's a very common thing I hear on Wall Street from people is very much like Jamie Dimon's sentiment. What people say is that they think the protesters are mostly mad because the economy is so bad. And they say if the economy improves and people get jobs, that most people will no longer be mad at Wall Street. And so you've also had Jamie Dimon out lobbying and speaking against a lot of the new financial reform regulations because he's saying they'll hold back the economy. And, you know, his viewpoint and that of a lot of people on Wall Street is you've got to find a way to get the economy better, and then that will cause this tension between the protesters and the bankers to go away.
You know, Louise, let me just kind of plumb the depths of your personal reaction to what you hear from the bankers. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Because I wonder if you feel that the bankers are sincere in not understanding or feeling that the Wall Street protesters are blaming the wrong people, or is this just an idea that they can kind of sort of gloss over it and it'll eventually go away?
You know, a very common thing I've heard over the last 4 years since the financial crisis erupted, as I've talked to mortgage traders and bank executives, has been the expression that they were dumb, they made mistakes, they didn't see the housing market falling, but that they didn't do anything wrong. And I really have not encountered many people on Wall Street who they think they individually did anything wrong. Sometimes they can say, oh, there's other people in our industry who were too greedy. So maybe I'm not talking to the right people, but I've talked to a lot of people day in and day out, and, you know, a lot of them are proud of the work they do. They work very hard, and they feel Wall Street's important to the economy, and they think that the financial crisis was mainly a mistake and a short-sightedness about what would happen in the housing market.
It's interesting, this whole idea that if the economy improves, it'll all go away sounds a little suspiciously like let them eat cake of another era, although I won't necessarily make that comparison, your comparison, Louise Story. It's an old story in America, though, the idea of freedom as the freedom to make money versus freedom as the freedom to protest on the streets.
Well, there's, you know, as you say, been a long love-hate relationship between bankers and everyone else. And one of the big questions that is, does everyone in America have opportunity to achieve? And, you know, when people can see that they, too, if they wanted, could be a banker and make money and the economy is good and they can get jobs, then there tends to be less animosity when you look throughout history. But when they see that there's really a big gap that seems like they can't close the gap, then there tends to be more anger.
And that precisely may be the narrative of the presidential campaign upcoming. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.